Hello again. I'm Kathleen Dunn. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're broadcasting live. Can you believe we're here? You know, sometimes I think, can we believe we're here? We're here. We're in Dubuque, Iowa. And we were invited to come here by a listener about a month ago who said, why don't you come to Dubuque? And we said, sure, we would. And we have chocolate cake, too. We have chocolate cake. We got politics. We got coffee. We have great guests. And we're having a wonderful time. And so thank you, everybody, for inviting us. Thank you, Mary, for inviting us. Here we are. Thanks. The caucuses, of course, are tonight, and we are broadcasting live. I forgot to tell you, we'll be here tomorrow, too, to talk about all that happened here in Iowa tonight. So tune in to us tomorrow. Joining us this hour, we have a number of guests. Mayor Barrett agreed to stay for a little while longer, which is nice of him, before they hit the road for Des Moines. And John has agreed to stay for a little while longer, for another half hour as well. And we have a number of guests calling in. We just don't know exactly who's going to be here, except we do know that Candy Crowley is joining us now by phone from Des Moines, where a lot of the press is. CNN senior political correspondent, if you want to talk, and you know, you're our preference here. If you want to talk to Candy about the way the press is covering this campaign, here's your chance. You know, grab that microphone after we talk for a few moments. Don't give your applause or complain about it. Here, talk to her about it so she can bring word back to the network. And so she's joining us right now. Candy?
How are you this
Hello,
morning?
Hello, Candy. I am okay. We're having a great time at the Mississippi Mug in Dubuque, Iowa, Candy. Doesn't get better than this.
It doesn't. Everyone says, oh, my gosh, you're stuck out in Iowa. I love Iowa. I actually used to live here. So,
yeah,
it's a great state,
Candy.
And it's a great state for politics. So, two loves
I love it. Actually, I'm a graduate of the University of Iowa. So is Rhonda. So that I think that may have pushed us in the direction as well. It's a good state. You must be, we're in Dubuque. I love being here, Candy. But tell me about the number of press, international press and domestic press, gathered in Des Moines right now. It's
huge,
isn't it?
Can I just tell you that about any of the restaurants in downtown Des Moines, I can go in and recognize more than half the restaurant. So it is huge. I mean, the place they have set up for when the caucus results come in is cavernous. It is like a convention. I mean, it speaks to both the excitement of the start of really the election year, although I'm sure it feels like the end to Iowans, and it's a testament to how close this race is.
Right. And how close do you think it is, Candy? What are your real thoughts about it? Do you think there will be clear winners tonight on both sides? Are you there, Candy?
I can barely hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me? Do you think there will be clear winners on both sides tonight?
I'm sorry, Kathleen. If you can hear me, one of us is on a bad phone, and it must be me, although it looks good from here.
All right, well, let's try and figure that
there
out.
We'll
try
are.
And figure out what's going on with that.
She's back.
Oh, you're back? Okay, can you hear me now?
I'm back. Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, great. Do you think there will be a clear winner on either side tonight?
Oh, boy.
Or not?
You know, I've sort of tried to steer away from predictions. I mean, listen, if you look at the polls, and we all have to sort of caveat this discussion with it's hard to poll in a caucus, it's hard to poll in Iowa, there obviously is the potential on the Democratic side for a three-way, if not a tie, at least an election at the top, a caucus at the top, that is so close that we come out with kind of a muddy picture. I think it is less likely on the Republican side, because I think there is, for voters on the Republican side, a clearer contrast between Huckabee and Romney, whereas on the Democratic side, I really sense that Democratic caucus goers are a little torn because they like so many of their candidates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, interesting point. I'm amazed how all of you, the press, and also the candidates are just going nonstop the last few days. Nobody's sleeping. Everybody seems to be on all the time. What an exhausting process, isn't it? How do people keep running?
Well, it is. I mean, I always am in awe of these candidates because, honestly, they really do put in very long days. I have times, long periods of time where I don't have to be, quote, on. They have to be on all the time, and that in and of itself is exhausting. And then you add to that it's a 14-hour day. I look at John Edwards out on his 36-hour nonstop blitz across Iowa. And again, a testament to, A, how exciting politics can be, B, how much these candidates want it, and C, how close it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what's on your schedule today? Will you go to a caucus tonight, Candy?
I'm actually going to be at Hillary Clinton's campaign headquarters for that night, you know, where she goes and gives her speech, win or lose. I kind of had my choice, and there was a part of me that could argue for any of the candidates or for going where they're actually tabulating the caucus results. But there was a part of me that said, win or lose, Hillary Clinton is probably the lead of this story. So I just thought that's where I kind of wanted to be, to see how everybody reacted to whatever's going to happen.
I was interested in former President Clinton's comments in somewhere in Iowa yesterday when he was talking as only he can to a group of supporters, saying the future of the free world is riding on your shoulders. And he may have overstated it a little bit, but then again, maybe he didn't, huh?
No pressure here at all, Iowa. I mean, you know, listen, I mean, all of these candidates, I mean, he tends to put things in the starkest terms. He's out there.
I'm sorry, Candy, we missed that. Go ahead.
Getting his wife to win this caucus. But all of them, particularly on the Democratic side, are putting this in very stark terms. I can't tell you how many elections I've gone through that they've said this is the most important election in American history. I get this sense that they really believe it at this point. Partially because of this whole new post 9/11 world, which just seems more dangerous, feels more dangerous, where U.S. relationships abroad are so important, and partially because there is this palpable feeling, particularly in the middle class, that something is awry with the economy, that something forceful is happening here, because so many things hit home, home foreclosures, that kind of thing. So I think there is a sense among these candidates, and in fact among these caucus goers, and we'll find out when we see what turnout is like, but also among caucus goers, that this is a really important election, and I think there might be a little hyperbole on the part of Bill Clinton, but they all kind of believe it at this point.
Yeah. Is this make and break for her, Candy, for Hillary Clinton?
Actually, no. I mean, I think what happens is if she places second, that aura of unbeatableness that they've tried to kind of wrap around her for a year goes away. That's the end of, oh, she's on this steady march to the nomination and then the White House. If she places third, that's huge. That's huge.
Yeah.
But it only harms her. It does not. She's got the name recognition. She's got the money. She has a huge, powerful infrastructure behind her in all of these states coming out of Iowa. So it's certainly not the end, but I have to tell you, it makes New Hampshire, where she's now tied in the polls with Barack Obama, you know, we just keep upping the ante as we go along. So a first, in fact, might be the beginning of the end for everyone else if Clinton wins first. If she comes in second or third, it just totally changes the dynamic.
Are you off to New Hampshire tomorrow or tonight?
I am off to New Hampshire.
Or do you get
tomorrow
to skip it?
You know, it's the tie you have to a camera someplace. And so I'm going to do Hillary Clinton tonight and then tomorrow morning talk to our morning show here in Des Moines. And then actually we're going up to the Quad Cities to catch a plane to Chicago to catch a plane to New Hampshire.
Oh, my gosh. What a schedule. Thanks very, very much for being with us. We'll watch you tonight.
Absolutely.
It's funny. I've been watching you last night. Here you are on the radio. I'll watch you again tonight. When do you think the good results are coming in, Candy, on CNN?
Well, you know, there's like all kinds of results coming out, and some of them there are entrance polls, like going in, who do you support? And so we ought to have those fairly shortly after 8 o'clock. On the other hand, the entrance polls, particularly on the Democratic side, don't tell you much because sometimes, as all those Iowans listening to you know, second choice really matters. So, you know,
right.
Basically, I think once those partial results start coming in, we'll get a better idea of what's going on.
All right. Thanks, Candy. Thanks so much for being with us. And when can you, John Markham is joining us. For those of you just tuning in, who's chair of the Dubuque County Republican Party, Mayor Tom Barrett is also here from Milwaukee. When do you expect you will have results tonight, John? You're faster than the Democrats, aren't you?
Yes, in a lot of ways.
In a lot of ways.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah, I know. We are in Dubuque County. We're going to have tally sheets. We only have three sites where we're holding our caucus. So we're going to have tally sheets at each site saying how the Dubuque vote is going. I would expect that we'll know the Dubuque vote probably 8 o'clock
so.
Now on the state level, it's going to take a little longer,
right?
Interestingly enough, we have to call in, each county has to call in their results, and you have to do it by precinct. So although I have 15 precincts meeting in one spot, I have to make 15 different phone calls to report the results. So I anticipate it'll take a little longer.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Definitely on the Democratic side, the Democrats have an 800 number, and each of the precincts call in, and they have a specific code. Those results will start coming in at about 9 o'clock, and so we should know on the Democratic side by about 10 o'clock.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It will be that fast. And give me an indication, Mayor Barrett. You know, I watch these. I don't know how people do this. I don't know how they campaign like this, and it's gone on and on and on, and now they're not sleeping at all, and it's been years that some of them have been running for president. I don't understand why people aren't depleted, and I want to ask you if it is a test of stamina, if that should be one thing that we're looking at, because once you're president, you got to have a lot of stamina.
Well, I think it's sort of like a golf swing, and I think most people who look at it, they think that the golf swing ends when you hit the ball, but you have to actually look at the election day, or in this case, the caucus day, as when you hit the ball. But a good golfer, it's the follow through. It's the follow through. So you're in your mind, you're thinking, okay, this day I have to get through. But if you just if you fashion it as a marathon and you're just reaching for the marathon, you're going to be tired. But if you're sort of just shooting through, if that makes any sense at all, you're going to be much more powerful that day. I think that's why you've got all the candidates now who are going on this incredible energy. I've been there, not at this level, obviously, but I've been there. But it's an roller coaster ride like you wouldn't believe.
Yeah.
And the key is to ignore the highs and ignore the lows, because for every one of these candidates, I guarantee they have highs and they have lows,
mm-hmm.
and you just have to ignore it. You just have to keep going and going and going. And I know they're all professionals. They've all been through this before, and they know that you just can't quit. The second you quit, you're falling back, because five others on the Democratic side and four or five others on the Republican side are out there working. And this is their whole life. This is what they've been pushing toward their whole life. And so they're not going to take the morning off.
No.
And you know, the other, their families, I mean, wives, in one case, husband, children, they're all running 24 hours. Mitt Romney kind of jokes that he's fortunate he's got so many sons. I think he's got six boys. So he said, I can be in eight different places, my six sons, my wife, and me. And truly, the families are...
It's incredibly powerful. Having family members is incredibly powerful in this situation, because they speak from the heart as well.
Right. Yeah. And his sons have been all over the news.
Absolutely.
Here in Dubuque, and must be a real asset to his campaign. They're all, you know, good-looking, smart guys who are, I'm sure, great campaigners for him.
We had his one son here, and you would have swore it was Mitt himself.
Oh, my.
He looks like him, speaks like him, did a very good job.
Yeah, I'm sure. Let's take a phone call, should we? We haven't, 800-486-8. Oh, no, let's go first to one of the caucus goers, and then we'll take a phone call. I'm looking for a caucus goer who is supporting, what do you say? Who are we looking for?
Go ahead and speak.
You're supporting Chris Dodd.
Right.
Right, okay.
Terry Stewart again. And I wanted to say why I support Senator Dodd, but also before I say that, I wanted to affirm what Carol said earlier, a couple of things. One, I'd be happy with any number of six of the candidates, and will be
really
fully supportive of them. And part of that comes from my wife and daughter, and I just got back recently from a trip to Ireland. And everywhere we went in Ireland, and they said, where are you from? And we said, Iowa. They said, the caucuses.
That's great.
They said, give us us a Democrat and get back on track. We're following your caucuses. So we were just amazed that everywhere we went, all over Ireland, they were aware of this process and were excited about this approaching event.
Wonderful.
But I studied all the candidates from the last spring right up until November when I finally made a decision. And I looked at the legislative success that Senator Dodd had. And I'm a retired firefighter, and he's created more legislation that keeps firefighters alive and helps them enjoy a retirement than any of the other legislators, the SAFER legislation that he's created. And then he's helped millions of kids get a head start in school. He created Head Start. He was the co-sponsor of the creation of Head Start. Millions of kids have gotten a better start because of this man. He also created the Family and Medical Leave Act, and he had to go through two presidents and two vetoes to get it done. And he hung in there at the profile and courage and got it done. So, I could go on because there are hundreds of reasons why I came to support the man. But he rose to the top of the pack for me, and I support him. But I will be enthusiastically supporting whoever the nominee is.
See how well informed everybody is. You're just wonderful. Who are your second? But if you don't make 15%, do you know where you're going for number two?
I'll be going to Joe Biden if Chris Dodd isn't viable. I very much hope he is. But if he isn't, I'd be going to Joe Biden next, because those two, to me, have achieved the greatest amount of legislative success. Mm. The greatest amount of integrity and personal relationship and comprehension of people's needs and understanding, and I've met them both several times and really appreciate how they approach this whole thing.
Met them both several times. Isn't that something? Let's hear from a Kucinich supporter.
Okay. And that is that I shared Carol's frustration with the national media and how many Iowans have been extremely rankled by the fact that the media adopted two or three out of the entire process and pretty much ignored everyone else. And the second tier didn't get a whole lot of attention. And that's been extremely frustrating. And I personally hope that Iowans will rebuff that lack of attention and move somebody from the second tier into the first rank. So that's
it'd be great if that happened.
That
you're right. You're right.
May I? And Terry and I. Terry and I visited about this the other day. It really is a good advertisement for keeping the caucus in Iowa, keeping Iowa first in the nation. And that is, you have these what they term second tier candidates who have very much to offer to the process. If you throw them in a large setting, like a regional setting, they just won't have the money available to make themselves known. And they can do it on a small stage like Iowa, and all of a sudden the small stage becomes a national stage. So, on the Republican side, somebody like a Huckabee probably never would have got any play if he would have got lost in the process.
Right.
On the other side, the Joe Bidens, the Chris Dodds, maybe would have never gotten any play. So it really gives these folks that aren't at the forefront in the beginning an opportunity to get on stage.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question an outsider?
Yeah.
Who pays for all this? I think one of the surprises for people from Wisconsin is the state of Iowa is not involved in this at all. These are both party structures, aren't they? Or is there state money that funds this, or is this all internally funded?
It's all party supported funded.
So there are no state dollars at all in this. I think if you ask people, ask our listeners in Wisconsin, they would assume that this is a state of Iowa election, like a Wisconsin primary, which it is not. So it's different. Are they expensive to run?
Well, I can speak on the Republican side. They have the straw poll, which is held in the summer, which typically is the hottest day of the year. And actually, the campaigns pay to send people to the straw poll. So it becomes a nice little fundraiser for the party itself. And money from that is used to, keep the party moving forward. So, but to my best of my knowledge, I have never heard of any state dollars that were allocated.
That's interesting. Yeah. Let's pause for a moment. We'll return, and we want to welcome, as we continue our conversation, a political reporter for the Dubuque Telegraph Herald, Mary Ray Bragg, will be joining us, who has had, I'm sure, a chance to interview a number of the candidates, and we'll be welcoming. We'll take a couple more phone calls, too, and we want to hear from more caucus supporters, too. You're our stars here. Grab that microphone and talk about who you're supporting and why, and we'll be happy to hear from you. Our number to join us by phone is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. If you're joining us in Milwaukee, it is 414-227-2050. And we are broadcasting live this morning of the Iowa Caucus from Dubuque, Iowa, the Mississippi Mug restaurant. And thanks, everybody, for being with us. We're having a marvelous time. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Pam, good, good. Yeah, you'll join us. And you are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, broadcasting live on this morning of the Iowa caucuses from the Mississippi Mug here in downtown Dubuque. John Markham, we want to thank you so much for being with us. I know that you have to leave. Thank you very much. You made a valuable contribution. Some of our staff will be going to one of the caucuses tonight and see how you guys operate, and we'll go to the Democratic caucus as well.
Well, it's great to have our neighboring state come to Iowa and spend some time with us.
Yeah, we're happy to be here. We have a great affinity for this state. Thanks, John. John Markham is chair of the Dubuque County Republican Party. Thank him for his great contribution to this hour. Mary Ray Bragg is political reporter for the Dubuque Telegraph Herald, had a front page story in today's paper, and I imagine has had a lot of front page stories for a long period of time in the paper. Thank you so much for coming down to the Mug to join us. This has got to be terribly exciting for a reporter to have all these people here for such a long period of time. So many stories, right, Mary?
I had a reporter from the national, one of the national networks, 2004 or 2000 campaign, and we were just chatting, and he asked, you know, well, you know, you've had a taste of it here, so when are you coming to Washington to get the real deal? And I said, why on earth would I want to bother going to Washington? Every 4 years, Washington comes to me. it is a great opportunity to see the process of how candidates are formed. This campaign has been longer than any other that I've ever covered because it started, well, John Edwards started campaigning, what, 6 years ago?
Oh, my!
He was here, the first time we saw him was when he came into campaign for Senator Harkin. And at that time, he was the congressional pretty boy, and, of course, it was a great opportunity to sit down, and we had a wonderful chat. And at that point, of course, it was that he was just out here kind of seeing the countryside and getting to know a few people. But to watch the evolution of a candidate like him over years is an exciting and a fun thing to watch. But in shorter span of time, you see someone like a John McCain who earlier on this year when I talked to him, he was an old man. And you thought, my God, this campaign is going to kill him before it's over. Contrast that with the John McCain that I interviewed yesterday afternoon.
Interesting.
This is a guy whose eyes are flashing, his skin looks great, he is on top of the game. He is... You know, it's just like, my God, I don't know what drugs he's taken, but I want some, you know. So you have a lot of fun getting insights like that into the individuals and their campaigns. And you watch also the evolution of their messages, because that's one of the beauties of this give and take that they have with the Iowa voters is you see them take on messages that they didn't have in their campaign to begin with. And as they go from site to site and they hear the same questions coming up from the audience, they come to realize that this is something that is of importance, and they begin to adopt this. They begin to take it into whatever their campaign spiel is. And it's fun because you really do feel that this population of this state is honing these candidates. Now, in some instances, the candidates aren't going to go on, but if they've had a particular message that is one that has been important to them, for instance, a Tom Tancredo, his issue was illegal immigration, and he went from the get-go, his message was that, can't be elected president of the United States, but I'm going to make this an issue that people talk about because it was important to him. And he was successful in doing that. So to watch the ebb and flow of the campaigns and the evolution of them is just fun.
Let's talk for just a second. We have a Kucinich representative here as well, and we want to talk to him. Do you have a minute to stay with us? Can you? Okay,
sure
good.
Do. Glad
and we also want to hear from more of the caucus goers. But let's talk about the importance of the issue of Iraq. When I think about all the talk shows that we have done, Mary, over the last years now, it has been an issue of foremost importance to our listeners, and I think we have covered it well. I hear that it is still the number one issue in Iowa, but that we're such a fickle people that, well, maybe some think the surge is working and there aren't as many deaths, so Iraq is not front and center. My feeling is that Iraq is still very much front and center in this state. Is it?
I think so, Kathleen. They talk about the emergence of the economy. Well, people are always concerned about how they're going to take care of their families, and that is going to surface. But at the base of it, I think for an awful lot of people, especially for the Democrats, Iraq is always there. It's the basis for it. There was the feeling of betrayal. There's the frustration over it. And as hard as all Americans seem to want to be supporting the troops and never, ever go back to a Vietnam kind of thing again, they have a real feeling of frustration over the entire situation that led us into Iraq. And it's not trendy. It's been there for so long, but I can't help but think that that isn't the one issue that resonates to the heart of most of the people who are involved enough and care enough to get involved in the caucus process.
Let's get a show of hands from the audience. Iraq, does it rate as number one or two among your list of concerns, right, the whole audience?
One.
Everybody. Isn't that amazing? 1 through 10. That's everybody in the room raised his or her hand. That's something. Stay with us. And let me just say, because Rhonda's worked like a dog to put together all of the guests who are coming in, we have had phone calls out to every major campaign. It's a matter of who has responded to us. Drew, I want to let you know that we have ignored no one. We have had calls to ask for representatives from both the Republican and the Democratic campaign. Some people chose to get back to us in full force. Others did not. So it was not a matter of we neglected them.
We haven't neglected anybody. We're public radio. We don't neglect anybody. Yeah.
I got an argument about that, but you know.
Yeah, Marcos Rubenstein is state coordinator for the Dennis Kucinich campaign and is joining us at the Mississippi Mug. Now, hi, Marcos. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you for inviting us.
Yeah.
And, I'm happy that for once we are here, in public radio and, talking about two issues. One is Iraq. The reason that Dennis Kucinich is running, I talked with him in December, a few weeks before he decided to run, and I was there in Ohio when he announced. In front and center is the Iraq war and his frustration because the Democratic leadership in the Hill did not respond to the 2006 election with a clear mandate to stop this war. And in the process also, he came to believe that we need to impeach this administration. This administration took us to war under false pretense with a pack of lies. And it's actually treason. That means we have somebody like the vice president. He was too busy to be in Vietnam, but he was supporting the war. He sends all the people there, all our young kids, men and women, to die in Iraq and to kill in Iraq, while his company makes zillions of dollars, billions and billions of dollars, and we need to put a stop to that. Constitution should be always before politics. Then that's our credo. Dennis started running for and because of the war. Also, of course, we talk about, again, impeachment. We talk about health care. We are the only candidate that talk about single-payer health care, Medicare for all. And, and we wish that these campaigns were more about issues than about horse racing. Mm-hmm. What happened here... is that both in the Democratic and Republican side, is that we talk too much about, you know, the horse race. But when you look at the issues, it is interesting that it's not the front runners, the ones that have the nod of the people. That means in poll after poll after poll, when we look at issues, I can talk only for the Democratic side, is Dennis Kucinich number one. That's very interesting.
You know, I think, though, that you, that people, and I haven't been here that long, but, and we've got a public radio perspective, which is skewed anyhow, but it seems to me as though people really know the issues. The people we went to dinner with, the people we're talking to here, the people in Dubuque, they know the issues. They know where all of the candidates stand on this, these issues. You guys are engaged here. You're engaged in a huge way.
The argument about Iowa being too closed a society to have the responsibility or the option to anoint the next president of the United States, you know, your other guests have talked about it, but until you're here and you actually see these people and you watch people with the candidates, it's just inspiring. Groups that have figured out how important the caucus is for them have learned to train ordinary everyday citizens. And it is the most fun to watch little old ladies who never raise their voice about anything gather the will to stand up before a presidential candidate and ask a question about getting rid of weapons in the national defense budget that are outmoded. And these little old ladies just don't say, I think we should get rid of them. They've got the numbers. They got the info. They're firing it away. And then they just sit quietly back down. And it's, I've seen it take the sails out of some candidates who thought they were going to have a softball here. And all of a sudden, it's a hardball right down the middle. And the same little old lady, she gets this, the importance of it, and she is willing to put herself on the line. And others who will stand up and ask a question and get a partial answer and very, very directly, but always kindly, because after all, that is the 11th commandment, thou shalt not be unkind, in Iowa anyway, they will say, well, that's all well and good, but you haven't said how this will be paid for, or, you know, they will come back again and again, and they make the candidates better. But they realize that if their candidate isn't going to be able to stand, they're going to have to be able to move to a candidate who more, at least as closely as they can, reflects their feelings and their agenda. And therefore, they have to know all the candidates, and they have to know their shortcomings and their strengths, so that when they finish this activity and this evening has run its course, they will have justified all this time and effort that they put into it.
That's great. Ken is one of the caucus goers and has been one of our hosts here. Take the mic, sir.
Sure. Yeah, I'm originally from Maryland, so I was just in awe of the caucus process when I got here. And I guess one of the things I was really in awe of is the purity of it. I mean, it's basically, you know, a lot of FaceTime with the candidates, and then a lot of coffee shop conversations. And the culmination of all those conversations is the final conversation that's held at the caucus night, which is not something you can do at an average polling place. The one thing that does upset me as far as messing with the purity of the process is the role that polls play in the decision making, because what happens is you start entering the final caucus phase and you think, well, gee, because this person places here in the polls, I better vote for this person to make sure this other person doesn't get in, and you start playing little games. And so I'm going to make a little recommendation to the general public, a little covert recommendation, and that is, when you are asked on an exit poll or you get that phone call, lie. Mix it up. Let's make if we can make the polls a totally useless tool, then they can't influence it anymore. So that's
thank you, Ken. And now, Mary, it's because of Mary we are here. So thanks for the invitation, Mary. Thank you, Mary.
You're welcome, Kathleen. I love your show. I listen all the time. And, you know, I guess I am between candidates still, I don't know if I'm representative of many Iowans, but I'm either going for Dodd or for Biden. And one of the reasons that I'm going for Dodd, especially, is because of his standing up for the FISA bill. And for people that don't know about that, it's so that the government can't listen into our phone conversations and our emails. And in the past, I guess, and this even started before 9/11 with the government requesting phone records and how people were libraries and how they were, you know, looking into what websites we were going to. And anyway, there are two bills on the floor, and one of them was put forth by Christopher Dodd. And it does not grant immunity to the telecommunication companies. Right. The other one does. And our Speaker of the House, or not Speaker of the House, our Majority Leader chose to bring up a bill, the FISA bill, that he didn't have to do at this time. And so Christopher Dodd took off from the campaign trail, and he showed up to filibuster. And I thought that takes so much guts. And when everybody else said, yeah, we support you, he was the only one that went back to Washington to stand up and say, I am here, and I'm not going to let you do this. And with the help of 600,000 phone calls and emails and faxes, Senator Reid backed down, and he's also promised to bring it back forth, you know, after caucuses. So I guess I would like to make a plea to Senator Reid and Speaker Pelosi to to show some guts. And if the Republicans, if they want to filibuster, let them filibuster. Let it not be because of lack of courage that things don't get passed. Let it be because of, you know, bills being stymied.
Thank you, Mary. We need to pause for just a moment. We will continue our conversation on hold right now, and joining us momentarily is the former governor of Iowa and presidential candidate. We had a chance to talk with him in the short period of time when he was a candidate, Tom Vilsack. He is now endorsing Hillary Clinton for president, and he will be joining us momentarily. And we continue with our in-studio guests as well. We're broadcasting live from the Mississippi Mug in downtown Dubuque, Iowa. There is no better place to be today than right here. We have a live audience, and we're having a wonderful time. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Clinton supporters? Clinton supporters. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, and we are broadcasting live from Dubuque at the Mississippi Mug. We are happy to have with us Tom Vilsack, former governor of the state of Iowa, also presidential candidate, who has now thrown his support to Senator Hillary Clinton for president. He is joining us, and we'll be welcoming, you know, a couple phone calls and more caucus goers. You know, this is your day. We're here because of you, so grab the microphone here if you want to express support for a candidate or question any of our guests here. Governor Vilsack, hello.
Kathleen, it's great to be with you. I'm a little bit jealous that you're in the great city of Dubuque, one of the great Iowa cities on the river there. Those folks have done a terrific job of creating a real image connected to the river with the museum and the riverfront project. So I'm pleased to be with you today.
It's the first city in Iowa, I read somewhere. Is that right? Dubuque is?
You know, that may very well be. Initially, the first capital of Iowa was in Burlington, which is down in the southeastern part of the state. My hometown, Presley Saunders, founded it just before the state became a state. So a lot of rich history in Iowa.
Yeah. We're so happy to be here. I keep saying this, Governor Vilsack, but I am just astounded how well-read, well-versed, passionate people are in this whole political process. I came to the state thinking, you guys have too much power. Somebody said it was, you have 20 times the political clout of all the rest of us, and maybe we're just jealous of you, but I think you're worthy of this political clout. When I look at how engaged people are in this process, it's phenomenal.
Well, I think we'll reaffirm that tonight with good turnouts on both the Republican and Democratic side. Iowans do take this very seriously. it is, after all, the most important and solemn responsibility we have as citizens, which is to select our next leader. I think it's pretty clear that the vast majority of Iowans and Americans are very dissatisfied with the direction of the country and they want change.
Yes. Tell me, we had a chance to speak with you while you were still a candidate. Is there a little bit of sadness about you at all today that you dropped out of the race or not? Can you hear us, Governor Vilsack? No. You can't. Let me ask our in-studio guests. We'll try to reestablish connection. Do you, both of you anticipate that there will be people tomorrow as a result of tonight's votes who will drop out of the race? Mary?
There may not be as many drop out as you would anticipate. They may want to hang on through New Hampshire. Mm. But... Jiminy Christmas. I mean, how much money is there out there? And there's been millions of dollars spent here in Iowa. And if there's only so much money in the United States, around the world, I guess, that they can plug into. So
actually,
it's going to be it.
Mary, that's a point that is, you know, why you didn't see us so much in Iowa. We had limited funds.
Right.
Then we wage a very low-profile campaign here in Iowa because we decide... because it's smaller, to prioritize New Hampshire. It's not that we like New Hampshire better than Iowa. We love Iowa. I'm from Iowa. Please, I love Iowa. But then the problem is money in politics. And I think that that's something that we need to look. One thing that I think that is corrupting our caucus system is the amount of money spent during all these campaigns.
Oh,
you know, we are talking about millions and millions of dollars. We are talking about putting, you know, armies of 300, 400, 500 paid staff per each candidate on the ground. That corrupts the idea of grassroots. Instead of being grassroots, now we have somebody that we need to report to, that tell us what to do, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Grassroots is empowering the base.
Mm-hmm.
That's grassroots. Grassroots is not volunteers on the phone. Grassroots is empowering the base. It's when people on the ground tells the campaign what to do, not vice versa. I would love to go back to that. I would like to see a system, and we need to start talking by 2010 for the state, you know, when we will be able to modify the Constitution of the Democratic Party, a way that we can guarantee that we go back to real grassroots. That's my take, not now as a Kucinich organizer, but as an Iowa organizer. We need to go back to real grassroots. We need the voice of the people to be, you know, heard more clearly, and that people really matter. And
yeah,
that's, you know, that's the goal that we have here.
Yeah, we're hearing them today, that's for sure. We're hearing them today. I believe we have reestablished contact with Governor Vilsack. Have we, Governor Vilsack?
Yes, I'm back on.
Oh, good.
Kathleen,
okay.
Thanks.
I don't know if you heard me or not, but I'm wondering if you're feeling at all wistful today that you had to drop out of the campaign. You had a shot at it. You were doing okay, but now you're not a candidate. Are you sad at all?
Not at all, Kathleen. I tell you, I have spent a substantial amount of time with Senator Clinton, and I absolutely think she is the best candidate to be the best president from day one, and I'm thrilled, absolutely thrilled to be part of her campaign. You know, this is a wonderful opportunity the state of Iowa has. As we mentioned earlier, we do take it seriously, and I think we're going to see a significant turnout today. I think there are people who are energized that have never been energized before or who feel like they really have a voice. I was talking to a woman in the rope line yesterday in Indianola. I said, "Are you going to caucus?" And she was a woman probably in her late 80s, and she said yes. And her daughter leaned over and she said, "You know, this is the first time Mom's been politically involved since she voted for Eisenhower." You know,
that's
the kind of thing that,
wow,
that really makes it, it sort of warms your heart about the whole caucus process.
So you're anticipating a huge crowd tonight?
Well, I'm anticipating a big crowd. I don't know about a huge crowd. I think that we'll see more than we saw in 2004. I'm not sure we'll see the numbers that some are banting about, 200,000. I think that's a bit high, but I think we're going to see more than the 122,000, 124,000 that was reported on the Democratic side in 2004, and I think the Republicans are going to see an increase in their numbers as well. And that's important for Iowa to be able to maintain its status as first in the nation.
Why did you throw your support to Senator Clinton, Governor Vilsack?
Several reasons. First and foremost, I truly believe that she has as a result of her lifetime of affecting positive change in people's lives from the very moment that she left law school, working for kids with disabilities, all the way through her work as a United States Senator. I was just talking to Lindsey Graham, a Republican Senator from South Carolina, who was here at the convention center. And he and Hillary worked together on a bill to make sure that our guard and reserve folks were well protected. She has affected change everywhere she has been. Clearly, we need change in this country. She has experienced her time in the White House, I think, prepares her uniquely for making sure she hits the ground running. And I think she has a compelling vision for the country, a practical vision, and I think she has comprehensive plans. I'm particularly excited about her health care plan, something that I worked on as governor to expand access to health care. We've got to get to universal health care. We have to make it affordable for folks who are low income and middle income, and we have to make sure that small businesses are not penalized as we create a universal system. We're the richest nation on earth. As the senator has said so often recently, since when did we become the can't-do nation? We are the can-do nation, and it's pretty clear to me that the time has come for us to make a real commitment to health care.
Mm-hmm. We have another caucus goer joining us.
Yes, my name's Carla Osborne, and I live in Dubuque.
And she's from New Hampshire, too. I mean, she's from everywhere.
I'm
from Chicago, too.
I've been in Dubuque for a year. The last 5 years, I was in New Hampshire, and this is so much more exciting than what it was in New Hampshire. And I'm originally from Chicago, Illinois, so I moved back to the Midwest is what I wanted to do. I'm backing and I'm going to caucus for the first time, and I'm really excited for Kucinich, and I'm proud to do it. I feel he's probably the best candidate for the job, and if he doesn't get it, I haven't decided yet at the last minute, that's when I'll do it, who I'm going to go with. I truly believe in just about everything when I went to hear him speak, and his points on the war, and to hold the people accountable that got us into this war, to hold them accountable for what they did. And if it was done and based on lies, then people have to stand up for their responsibility. I think the office now has to be, the presidential office has to be held in a higher light than what it's been. And I think Kucinich is the man for the job.
Gentlemen to my right, Marcos is happy to hear that.
As you know, Congressman Kucinich had introduced the articles of impeachment for Vice President Cheney. He took a special motion also on the floor, and then it changed from 333 to 7-something. I cannot remember the number right now. But we need accountability. See, I was raised, even though I'm American by birth, I was raised in Argentina. And I came, you know, back to the States in 76 because of, you know, what was going on there. And I know one thing. There is nothing more important than Constitution. The Constitution clearly states that Congress shall impeach the president. It's not may. It's not perhaps. It's not if they feel like it. It is shall impeach the president. And what we hear from the, from the leadership in Congress is, oh, but it's not politically astute to impeach the president. We can lose the election of 2008. And I say only one thing. Constitution trumps partisanship. There's nothing more important than the Constitution, and the Constitution is going down in flames. We have an administration that had lied and took us to war lying, and we have an administration that passed the Patriot Act, and, you know, that is taking away all of our constitutional guarantees. And believe me, coming from Argentina, I know that a coup d'etat is not a process of one day. It is day by day by day. They take away a little more of your rights. And one day you wake up and you suddenly are in a dictatorship. I don't want America going that way. It's very dangerous.
Let's go to one very quick phone call. We're almost out of time. Representative Tim Ryan joining us from Wisconsin, who has called in. Representative Ryan, hello.
How are you, Kathleen?
Hi. Fine. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm actually from Ohio, and my congressional district is butts up right against Dennis Kucinich.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah, he's a good man, but I'm calling on behalf of Chris Dodd, who's a little busy right now, but I wanted to call in. I've endorsed Chris.
You're in Iowa then, Representative Ryan.
I'm in Iowa. We're just leaving Iowa City, and we're heading back to Des Moines. We had a great event up here, and I've been here three times. And I, you know, want to just share with everyone. I think the crowds have doubled since the last time I was here for Senator Dodd. I think people are giving the quote unquote second tier candidates a really close look here. They're tired of the media trying to tell them who they got to vote for. And the gentleman who was just speaking before was talking about the Constitution. It was Senator Dodd who went back for the retroactive immunity that they were trying to give to the communications company. It was Senator Dodd who went back, filibustered that bill, and took out the immunity for the TCOM company. So this is a guy.
And on that note, we're going to have to say goodbye to you because we are plumb out of time and have some people to thank. Thank you, Representative Ryan from Ohio, calling in on behalf of Chris Dodd. Governor Vilsack, thank you so much for being with us. Really appreciate your time, and we had so many people here to thank. We also want to thank Mary Ray Bragg, who is the political reporter for the Dubuque Telegraph Herald. She's terrific. Thank you, Marcos Rubenstein, state coordinator for the Kucinich campaign. All the people, thank you, people of Dubuque. We are having a one heck of a time. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning, producer, production help from Marv Nunn, our great engineer here, Bill Estes, and John Treader. Promotional help from Sandy Lewinauer, who coordinated all the food and the tables, and Sandy's been so valuable. Thanks to our Dubuque friends, including Mary Loney Bichelle, Jerry, who's at the Redstone Inn. We hope he'll join us tomorrow. Valerie Hogan, manager of the Mississippi Mug, and many others. Thanks, everybody. We'll be with you again tomorrow to talk about the results. Thanks to our live audience. Join us again tomorrow if you'd like. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.